Caregiver's Wife Handbook, Caring for Your Seriously Ill Husband and Caring for Yourself. And I want to welcome Dr. Diana Denholm to Shannon's Corner. How are you today?
Well, I'm fine, and thank you so much for inviting me to join you, because this information is so important, and it's wonderful that you're sharing it. As Rosalind Carter said, there are only four kinds of people in the world: those who have been caregivers, those who are currently caregivers, those who will be caregivers, and those who will need caregivers. So unfortunately, caregiving is something that is probably going to touch virtually every home. Even at this point, if you aren't one, you probably have a friend or acquaintance who is.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's true. Most of us know someone. I thought of someone instantly when I got your book. And it's really a tough place to be in, isn't it? It's very difficult. You know, reading your book opened up a whole new way of seeing this and all the problems that are so hidden behind closed doors, I think. Most of us just don't know what really goes on or how the other person feels in doing this and how different the roles are behind closed doors than they are in front of everyone else. Is that commonly the case, that it's very different at home than it is that we perceive it as people on looking if it's not us?
Oh, absolutely. And the information, I know you were mentioning it could be a man or a woman, and absolutely everything in the Caregiving Wife's Handbook applies to husbands as well. You could be caring for your parents, you can be caring for anyone,
right?
And you'll find things that you can do to make this better, because caregivers do tend to have a public face that hides their private pain. And they don't want people to know everything that's going on. They don't want to come across as being a complainer. And some of it is just too unpleasant to talk about with everybody. And when they are outside of the home, you know, you as caregivers, you probably want to be thinking about something other than caregiving, so you're not as likely to be bringing it up with your friends.
Yeah, that's a great point. And getting out of the home is really important. If you're caregiving for your husband or your wife, or, as you said, your aging parents, it's really important to also care for yourself, which is the core message in this book. So getting out and being social is really essential, isn't it?
It is, because if you go down yourself, you know, if you get sick, if you get injured, if something happens to you, you're not even going to be there as the caregiver. And, you know, you likely, and I'll qualify that in a moment, you likely will survive the ill person.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to be well enough to continue on your life after that person passes. Although there are many, many cases where the caregiver has not taken care of themselves and they do pass on before the ill person. So it
Wow.
is critically important.
Wow, I didn't realize that. Now, you are a medical psychotherapist and you specialize in giving hope and help to caregivers. How did you become so knowledgeable about this? Was this part of your personal life as well?
Absolutely it was. After watching my mother be a caregiver for my father, he had a heart attack when I was about 2. So over the years, I watched, you know, 40 years of his various illnesses, but only understanding it, you know, through my eyes, not hers. As I watched her, here she is caring for the person she's in love with and watching him die. Well, that eventually happened to me when I grew up, and I married a gentleman who was diagnosed with colon cancer just right after he proposed to me. And he got through that, but subsequently he had congestive heart failure and cardiomyopathy, had to have a heart transplant following that, all the anti-rejection medications. He ended up with cancers, blood pressure problems, Parkinson's disease, kidney disease, and eventually was on dialysis pretty much all the time, and decided he couldn't handle life like that, and opted to go off dialysis, knowing that he would be dead in 5 to 10 days, and
wow.
he did die in 5. And then I also interviewed 6 women who share their information, their knowledge, their trials, and their resolutions in this handbook, because that's what is really important. The book isn't about to complain to you and tell you, oh, how bad and sad it was. It is to give you resources so that you have life and relationships that are healthy rather than a disastrous outcome.
And you did a great job with this book of making that very evident, and it's very, very important because, I'm just assuming and reading the book, I understand that there's anger, there's guilt, there's all sort of codependence that go on in these relationships, and it's very isolating. So, you're stuck with all these emotions, and I'm sure that there's a certain sort of anger towards the person that got sick, and then, of course, that must lead to guilt because you realize it's not their fault. So,
Absolutely. How
do you deal with all that? Is it good to have some sort of support group or maybe a therapist or just get out with friends, as you often say?
All of those. Mm. There are several ways in addition. There is a whole section in the book on comprehending our emotions, life in the guilt factory, because our emotions are neither good nor bad, they just are. And these strong emotions, we will learn, are to be expected. And when we know they're normal, then we don't have to feel as guilty about them. And then there are things that we can do so that we don't let the anger and the frustration spill over into the care of our loved one. And probably the biggest one of the, well, there are two. One is not being codependent, and the other is using the communication tools that you will learn. Mm-hmm. But let me talk about the codependency since you mentioned that.
Actually, hold off on that. We have to take a quick break, and I really want to get into that. I don't want to give that any slight over. So let's talk about that when we come back. We are talking today with Dr. Diana Denholm, the Caregiving Wife's Handbook, and we will be back here on WTBQ in just a few.
Supporting your local community.
WTBQ.
Hi, and welcome back to Shannon's Corner. I am Shannon Devereaux Sanford, and I thank you so much for joining us today. And don't go anywhere, because we're talking about caregiving for your loved one, for your spouse, for your husband in particular. We're talking with Dr. Diana Denholm, who has written the Caregiver's Wife Handbook, Caring for Your Seriously Ill Husband and Caring for Yourself. And as Dr. Denholm mentioned before, that, probably you are going to be somehow one of those people, whether it's your aging parents, whether it's your spouse, whether it's someone in your life, this will probably happened to you, well, certainly you're going to know someone who has this is happening to now or is going to happen to, because as we get older, we need more caring. And it's a very difficult situation. Yet Diane's book, or Dr. Denholm, I should say, book is really wonderful and gives us a lot of tools on how to do this. And caring for ourselves is so important. So listen up about this. But codependency, Dr. Denholm, is something you were mentioning before. And this happens, does this happen very slowly, like in the beginning of a illness, and it just kind of, gets kind of entangled as it goes on? Or how does this codependency work, and why is it so bad?
Very, very good way that you asked that question, because that is some of the problem in kind of the way you get entangled in it. Codependency does not mean that you are dependent on each other, as some people think. Mm. It's really enabling, which we are doing for others what they should be doing for themselves, which enables them to stay weak or in their inappropriate behavior. Typically, and more so for women, when we learn our husband is sick and dying, we jump in with both feet and we want to take charge and be in charge of everything and everybody and all the food and all the visitors and all the doctors and everything. So we just plunge ourselves into codependency. But what happens is, over time, as we take on all these responsibilities that we really don't need to, we get worn out. But the worst part is that in doing this, we actually are harming the sick person. With the best of intentions, we, in enabling our husband or our loved one, whoever it might be, we turn them into a physical and an emotional invalid. If we do everything for our husband, we take away any chance he has to feel like a man, and to feel proud of himself and stay physically fit. So when you invalidate somebody, you turn them into an invalid. And the worst part is, you stop being his wife, or conversely, you stop being the husband, and you become their parent, and not a very nice one. So rather than doing this, and you'll learn in the handbook how to release yourself from all these excess duties, they're very simple ways with strong communication tools that you'll learn. So rather than resenting your loved one, as you mentioned earlier, you can reclaim the loving feelings you had toward them and become their husband or their wife again, so that you may enjoy whatever time you have left, because that's what it's really about.
Yeah, that sounds very constructive. But first, you have to understand this and recognize this, right? And you have to, because I can certainly see how women can do that. Being mothers and caretakers in general, we run everything, and we think we can run everything. But I could also understand how, as you say, you become the parent here and then start to resent him. And then, of course, you know, he feels helpless and kind of unmanly, certainly in the situation, which is tough for the person that's ill anyway. So it's a very difficult situation. Is it a good idea, if you can afford it, to get someone to take care of them so that you don't have to?
But to be, before you take that step, some of what you need to do is to communicate so that you can come up with what the expectations are and what the plans will be, rather than just going and hiring someone. Going through six simple steps that you learn in the book of determining what your concerns are, coming up with what you really want to discuss with your loved one, then some nice ways to move into a discussion so that it is effective and the your loved one will be open to it, you establish these expectations. And whether it's about the type of care and who will perform it, legal and financial matters, household management, visitors, sleep, even sex and intimacy, all of these issues can be discussed so that you then can come up with agreements and understandings about how they will be handled. And that may be that yes, you know, we do need to have some help come in one day a week or 2 hours a day, something like that. But you determine this together.
Yeah, that's really important because I obviously, as we said, you know, that taking that on and running everything, it gets a lot of resentment on both sides. And you're very making, you know, talking together. And your actions sometimes, you say, can keep him very weak. So by doing this together, he gets to be stronger as opposed to you constantly hovering over him and pushing him down sort of bit, or as you can say, conversely, pushing her down a little bit. So there's certainly that difficulty. You give some tips on what to do and what not to do. Don't let your husband or anyone take advantage of you or be abusive to you in any way. Is that something that's common?
Yes, it is. And there are 50 do's and don'ts in one section of the Caregiving Wife's Handbook, but they're not in any special order except number one. Because, yes, what happens in the frustration, whether it's on the part of the sick person or the well person, abuse starts to kick in when the anger, the annoyance, the irritation is there. And it's very common for a wife in particular to accept abuse from her husband, thinking, oh, well, the poor dear, you know,
right.
You know, he's not feeling well, so sure, he's irritable and nasty to me, but I have to accept that. Well, no, you don't. And in the handbook, you will learn ways to handle that, to either have the conversation with him to make that change or to find ways to remove yourself from it any time that he might be abusive. You know, I will speak with you, George, when you are nice to me, so I'm going to step out of the room for 15 minutes, and then I will come back, and let's try this again.
Good advice. I would think, because most illnesses, and some are certainly accidents that happen very quickly, but most come on through time. So you have time to slightly build up to it. You should set these rules. This is a book you should get, and set these rules in the beginning so that it doesn't get too far out of control and one person doesn't take over, or one person doesn't get abusive as much. What happens when that resentment builds up? I mean, there's always been these horror stories where somebody actually kills somebody because they're just so resentful of them. So these aren't uncommon, these huge resentful anger feelings. So I would think that if you get rid of them early on and learn how to deal with this early on, it's not going to escalate into that horrible situation, right?
Absolutely. And the whole point of the book is actually to prevent all of those bad things from happening so that you can create, you know, a much more positive, lovely outcome than creating a horror show in your home.
Is talking about death a fair thing to talk about? If you know that person is eventually not going to come through this, is talking about death and legal things and all the necessary important things in life that have to be talked about, is that fair to talk about?
It's not only fair, but it's really pretty necessary to talk about. we have missed opportunities in life, but we always have options and choices. It kind of reminds me of the lack of communication in the Gift of the Magi story, where the fellow sells his gold watch to buy combs for his girlfriend. She cuts off her long hair to buy a watch fob for him. They're thinking they're doing this loving thing by not communicating, and they end up with a problem. Well, this happens in marriages. You know, she doesn't bring up the death because she doesn't want to, you know, talk about something negative. He doesn't bring it up either because he's trying to protect her. Then he dies, and she has no knowledge of finances, insurance, household management, what his burial wishes are. And none of that is discussed. So it's really important to do it, and truly, everything you need to know to be able to have these discussions in a comfortable way, you will learn in the handbook.
Yeah, and that's very important. And what about the women? And I can imagine this would be, I think women, again, probably more so than men, are embarrassed about their husband's illness. I mean, it is something that you don't want to talk about, that you feel somehow not responsible for, but you kind of want to cover it up. Is that taking on too much responsibility on our shoulders and not just dealing with the facts and the truth as it is?
Yes. But some women are embarrassed because, you know, their husband is now looking unkempt. Or maybe he's walking funny and people think that he's drunk. He's not acting right. Maybe, you know, he sits down in a chair and he leaves a little wet puddle behind when he gets up. And some women try to kind of separate themselves from their husband at that point because they are embarrassed, so they kind of don't want to be identified with him. And that's a shame because, you know, it isn't her responsibility. It isn't her illness. She need not be embarrassed about it, and it's a shame when that does happen, but it's not uncommon.
I bet it's not uncommon. I mean, it takes a very strong person to deal with this with somebody else, and it takes a lot of help. I mean, your book is extremely helpful and has a lot of good tips. I mean, things that most people wouldn't have thought about or talked about. They might have thought about, but don't know how to talk about it. I mean, guilt, embarrassment, all those things, anger. I mean, you don't want to be angry at somebody who's sick, but I'm sure after cleaning up after somebody day in and day out, you get angry. So, I mean, these things are really important to talk about, and I guess to realize that you're normal about this and that you don't have to feel guilty that other people feel this way as well, right?
Right. I think when you first have the book in your hands, in the very introduction, you're going to realize that you are not alone.
That's important.
Oh, somebody really gets, you know, that you have these thoughts in your head and that they are normal, so that you no longer have to feel guilty about them. And then further, as you use some of the tools in the book, what to do about them. You know, if there are some simple methods for releasing anger. One of them is the first step in the communication, which is to write down for your eyes only all the things that anger or annoy or frustrate you. In fact, there's a 24-question kind of planning guide to get you started on that. And simply by writing these down and getting them out of your system, that's going to be a help. And then sharing some of them with a confidant who isn't going to go running back to your husband, because some of these will be topics you will discuss with him, but it'll be the way you do it. For instance, sick people smell. So you don't want to go up to your husband and tell him, you know, you really stink. But you might say that to your friend. But the discussion you would have with your husband will be, honey, I think we need to talk about hygiene a little bit. So there's that shift.
Right, that shift that's not one of anger or blame. I mean, obviously it's not good to blame a sick person, and it's certainly tough for the person that's sick, too.
Absolutely,
I mean,
they don't like it either.
No, exactly. Nobody likes this situation. It's a hard, you know, it's a hard situation to navigate. You've written a wonderful book that's probably going to help millions and millions of people. Good for you for doing it. Again, the name of the book is The Caregiving Wife's Handbook, Caring for Your Seriously Ill Husband and Caring for Yourself. Dr. Diana Denholm, thank you so much for joining us today. Everybody, if you're in the car or wherever, just go when you get home or go now to WTBQ to Shannon's Corner, and we have a direct link to Dr. Denholm's book. Again, I thank you so much for joining us today. This is an excellent book. You've done a wonderful job with this.
Well, and thank you so much for sharing it.
Thank you so much for sharing it with our listeners today. We do have to wrap it up for today, but until next time, don't forget to make good choices.